Jeff is here for any young ones that would like to have some specific time focused on y'all. I think people are staying put, but thank you for being available. I put in the note that I sent out either by voicemail or through email this two-word phrase, be patient, can be one of the most difficult ones that I've ever encountered. Be patient, especially when it was followed with my name. So when you hear be patient, Michael, it's hard for you too, isn't it? But here we are. Be patient. Be patient. And here we have John the Baptist, and he's asking a question. He wants to know if Jesus really is the one we've been waiting for. Now, I think it's fascinating that it's John asking this question. So let's think about what we know about John the Baptist. One of the first times we encounter John in his life, not in the Gospel of Matthew, but in Luke for sure, we have John still in his mother's womb. And do you recall that story when Mary, you've heard of Mary? Mary, who also is pregnant with a child, his name, they're with me. This is good. This is a good place to. Jesus. So Mary is pregnant with Jesus. Mary goes to visit her family member, Elizabeth, who is pregnant with. When Mary shows up with Jesus in her womb, what does John do? Yeah, right. It's like, oh my gosh. It's almost as if John in the womb goes, I know who's here. Right? I know who's here. And just does one of those gymnastics things. I've heard about these things. I don't know. But I hear they can be quite the experience. But John leaps when he comes close to Jesus. And then later in John's life, we learn and we find John out in the wilderness. And he's preaching a baptism of repentance. Hey, folks, you gotta change. You gotta turn your life around. And John's whole purpose out there is to point to Jesus, getting us ready, preparing us for Jesus. There's one coming after me, John says, that I'm not even worthy to hold his sandals. This is one way powerful than me. And so he's getting people ready for Jesus showing up. Because he knows who Jesus is. Just like when he was in the womb, he gave hints that he knew who Jesus was. And now he's out in the wilderness. Folks, get ready. You got to prepare. You got to repent. Get ready for Jesus. Then Jesus shows up out in the wilderness and asks John to baptize him. John, knowing who Jesus is, says, oh, no, 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 no. Me? Baptize you? You should be baptizing me, John says. Because he knows who Jesus is. And now he's in prison. Isn't it interesting that when confined and for whatever reason, whatever that prison might be, but John's in a prison with four walls around him, and now this same one who leaped within the womb when Jesus shows by and out in the wilderness, he says, get ready for Jesus who's going to show up. And who says, I can't baptize you. You should baptize me. This same one is now in prison going, are you the one? Or should we be waiting for somebody else? In prison, a question can arise where when you're not in prison, the question is not even there. But when you're in prison, you wonder, is Jesus truly the one we've been waiting for? So John sends word to Jesus to ask Jesus, are you the one we're waiting for? And then Jesus, being Jesus, never gives the direct answer. I was thinking about Linda when we were talking about how people, you ask a question, it's supposed to be a yes or a no response. Jesus is going to frustrate the dickens out of you. I'm just saying that. And me too. So John just wants to know, are you or are you not the one we're waiting for? Jesus does not say yes, and he does not say no. What he says is, go tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. It's almost as if it's what's more important is not how Jesus responds to John's question. It's Jesus, I think, is saying it's more important what you think, John. It's more important that you can say yes or no. So, send John this message and tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. And what you've seen and what you've heard, you've seen people who were blind now can see. People that were deaf can hear. The people that were lame can walk. Go tell John that. I'm grateful that our job as followers of Christ, Jesus doesn't go out and ask us to go and convince people that I'm the Messiah. Go and convince people that I'm the Messiah. Here, Jesus is saying, go and tell people what you've seen. What have you heard? So today, I'd like to tell you what I've seen and heard this last week. Well, it started Sunday afternoon. And I saw in the fellowship hall a room filled with a whole bunch of people. And Santa Claus shows up to offer gifts to people that had been found themselves to be homeless. But I learned while having conversation with somebody there, said, no, most of these now have homes. So those that were homeless now have homes. And there was this tremendous energy, especially when Santa showed up. And I was being told, yes, most of these people now have homes. So I thought I'd tell you that. That's what I've heard and what I've seen. And then later on in the week, I called somebody up I hadn't seen for a while, and I asked her how she was. And she said, I'm doing okay. Well, good. And then later on in the conversation, I asked her, so what are you challenged with these days? And she said, well, it's kind of hard to breathe, and I can't walk very well. Wait, it's kind of hard to breathe, and it's hard for you to walk, but you just told me that you're doing okay. Well, I am. And then I asked later on, and the reason why, I asked later on, how are you and God doing? Oh, God continues to be faithful. God continues to show up. God continues to give me the strength to get through each day. God has done this, 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 this. Just went through the long list. And oh, by the way, it's hard for me to breathe. And it's hard for me to walk. Just thought I'd tell you that's what I've heard this week. And then I had some conversation with my parents. Is Dad here? Dad's there. Mom's over here somewhere, right there. Okay. They knew this was coming. 50 years ago, on this day, our family woke up with the reality that my brother had died the day before. Mark died when he was 9 months old, and he had spinal meningitis. I was 3. I have a little bit of memory of Mark. The main one I have is when he's in his casket, and he's holding his little stuffed animal. I don't know what kind of animal it was, but it was a little stuffed animal. And just go with me. That's what I remember. It could have been wrong, but that's what I'm going with, all right? And I just want you to know, I cherish that memory. It's not a doom and gloom memory I have. I'm grateful for that memory. So 50 years ago, this is the reality that our family, my mom and dad and myself even as 3, were dealing with. And I asked mom and dad, so how did you get through that time? How did you get through? Because all of these things, you know, like the woman I spoke to the people that were in the fellowship hall, they had this prison of homelessness at one point, where that prison that could keep you from living fully the way God desires for you to be living. The woman that I spoke to on the phone, it's hard for her to breathe and can't walk very well. That could be a prison. This is something that she could have perceived as being something that's keeping her from living fully the way God hopes that she can live. And then death can be one of those things, and grief can be one of those things that can be one of those things that keep us from living life fully the way God desires for us to live. So in that prison of grief, I asked my parents, so how did you get through that? And it was interesting. First thing they said, and because I talked to them separately at different times, first thing they said, each of them, our church family. Our church family really showed up for us. Really showed up for us. They were there. And it was ironic because that weekend, we were supposed to be, that's when we were going to be received as new members in that church in Huron, South Dakota. And so, didn't have a super long relationship with this congregation, but here they walked alongside. And so I just thought I'd tell you that. The other thing I heard from both my parents was how they talked about their parents, my grandparents, how they journeyed in love and in compassion and strength and encouragement and just being present with us as we went through this. And as they went through it themselves too, they journeyed alongside in love and compassion. And I just thought I'd tell you this is what I've heard. And then Dad told me a story. This was a new one for me. Every once in a while, this comes up, and I'll ask about those that time. So it was this time of year, and it was after Mark's death. And was it a poinsettia from the church? Okay, so Dad was going to take a poinsettia or poinsettia. Okay, we'll talk about that later. This flower from the church. Dad was going to take a poinsettia to somebody in a nursing home. Member of the congregation? Is that a former member of the congregation? So he gets the poinsettia and me, and off we go to the nursing home to take this woman a poinsettia. When we got there, she wasn't available. And so Dad asked one of the workers there, is there anybody here in the nursing home that very rarely is visited? And yes, there is. And so they brought us to this woman's room and gave the plant and wished her Merry Christmas, and I think, was it when we were leaving, she said, thank you and Merry Christmas. And then the worker at the nursing home said, that's the first I've heard her speak in ages. I was just noticing this song that we just got done singing, Awake, Awake. And in the third verse, I just thought I'd read this to you. In darkest night, his coming shall be, when all the world is despairing. As morning light, so quiet and free, so warm and gentle and caring. Then shall the mute break forth in song. The lame shall leap in wonder. The weak be raised above the strong, and weapons be broken asunder. So I just thought I'd share what I've heard this week. Because I'm not here to convince you that I do believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for, and is here now. And you know somebody. You know somebody who might be living in whatever prison they find themselves right now. A prison of fear, a prison of anger, a prison of disease, a prison of whatever, loneliness. But no less a prison, that which is confining them and keeping them from living life fully the way God hopes that they can live their life. You're going to know somebody. And they're going to wonder, is God here with me? Does God even care? I hear Jesus inviting each of us and sending each of us not to convince anybody that God is here. But tell them. Go tell them what you've seen and what you've heard. Because apparently that matters. It matters. Because it's not going to be about you, and it's not going to be about you. It's you that are telling them. It's going to be about God showing up as you share what you've seen and what you've heard. Sisters and brothers in Christ, there are people patiently waiting, patiently and desperately waiting to hear good news anywhere. Go and tell people what you've seen and what you've heard. Amen.